only blessing? No. To me, I'll go back sometimes and I listen to myself preach and I wonder and I realize how much of a blessing it is that people actually come. Like my pastor, original pastor, when I was growing up, said that one time. He said, I had my first message and he said, he recorded it and he went back and he listened to it and he went to his wife and he says, why in the world does anybody ever come back? It's terrible. You know what? Sometimes it just shows that we're human. And sometimes I think we judge ourselves a whole lot worse than God does sometimes in that sense. I mean, as far as hard on ourselves. I know if there's any critic for me musically or even preaching, it's usually me. I'm the critic. I'm the one that says, I'm no good. I'm not good at that. I'm not good enough. But God wants to use us. And I'm grateful and thankful for that. And I appreciate you. I mean that with all my heart. I appreciate you coming and listening and coming and working with us. Putting up with all my strangeness, whatever you want to call it. But I love you for it, and I appreciate it. I really do, and I appreciate your love towards our family and towards this church. And we're looking forward to many, many more years to be able to serve together. So kind of my testimony here today, I guess, a little bit. I've shared a lot of my testimony, I guess. But God's been good to us and gracious to be able to do some wonderful things for us over the years. And I remember when we first came here, we didn't have any air conditioning in the sanctuary. And not that today is real, real hot, but, and most of you are probably saying, I have to bring a coat because we have air conditioning. But I promise you, you wouldn't have brought a coat 8 years ago in here. It got muggy, hot, miserable. God's been good. Just simple things like air conditioning. Just simple things like lights. We can turn the lights on. We don't have to worry about the electric bill in that sense. God's always provided and always taken care of it. In 11 years I've been here, God has always provided a paycheck for us every week. He's always provided. We've always paid our bills. We've been debt-free, I believe, probably for about 7 or 8 years at least now, I think. Close, right around there. I was telling Brother Wagner, we wrote a check for the church van. It's paid for. You know, that was several years, four years ago now, probably, something like that. Wrote a $20,000 check. I called Mrs. Seymour and I said, well, we can get the van, but I said, you're writing the check, not me. I did not want any part of writing a $20,000 check. So I made her sign it and write it. But God's good. You say, we don't have everything. We don't have everything. Do we really need everything? What we really need is to preach this book and to share this with the world that we live in, with the people that we're around. And if all we had was that, as Brother Wagner, I think, referred to it, the little yellow house over there. If all we had was the little yellow house and we had to meet there, God is still good and God would still be blessing. But we have a whole lot more, and God has been super good to us, far more than what we've deserved. And so I just want you to know that I'm thankful for being here, thankful for this church, thankful for you. And I appreciate Brother Wagner. You come, why don't you preach for us one more time and share whatever the Lord's laid on your heart. I really enjoyed the first two messages. I'm looking forward to this afternoon as well. So appreciate you, brother.
Yes, the little yellow house. Did I turn this on? I guess I did. It seems to me about a year or two before we left, I up and painted that place white. Seems to me, didn't we paint that place? Seemed like we did. Anyway, hey, it was good. Food was good. Somebody knows how to do burgers. And then those baked beans, those are real. Those are real. Yeah, appreciate that. That was good. And I just appreciate the fact that I had a chance to be here with you fine folks. And I trust that you got a blessing through this day. And, you know, as a preacher, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to come up. And I thought, well, I better at least be prepared because he just might have me do three. And I like to be prepared. So I got something together here. I haven't gone over it a whole lot since I put it together, and that was some time ago. But I thought, well, this will be all right. And so let's turn over there to Acts chapter 17. I mentioned Acts chapter 17 this morning and referred to it often. And interesting book, but we'll start there, and we'll be working through some other areas too. And don't you worry, because we're going to be out of here real quick. We are. Ah, I see some smiles on faces. This is not going to go very long. But Acts chapter 17, we're going to start here and just read a few verses, and then we're going to be looking into some other chapters, and you'll see. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 1, and now when they had passed through Amphipolis, and another funny name, they came to Thessalonica. We mentioned that this morning, where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath days, and reasoned with them out of the scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed. Well, we'll cease our reading there, but we'll be looking at other verses as we go along. And in the book of Acts, maybe you've noticed it, we're confronted with a whole host, a veritable cornucopia, if you will, of names, lots of names. And some of these names are famous. Some of these names are familiar, like Peter and Barnabas and Paul and Silas. We've all heard of them. We know about them. Timothy, Philip, familiar names. But most of them aren't all that familiar, nor are they that easy to pronounce. And so you'll forgive me if I happen to mispronounce some of these names. For example, in here in Acts chapter 17, we go down here at verse 6. Well, Jason. There's Jason. I got him circled and underlined there. And that's an ordinary name. But then we come to down to verse number 34. Skip on down to verse number 34, and you'll run into a fellow named Dionysius. See that name down there, verse 34? Dionysius. Yeah, there he is. And then also in verse 34 is Areopagite. And then a woman named Damaris. All right, so, unusual, unfamiliar names. And then in chapter 18 of the book of Acts, there's, of course, Aquila in verse 27. We're told about her. And Priscilla, excuse me, that's in verse 2, I guess. Yeah, and Priscilla in verse 2. And then, let's see, who else? There's Justice. Is he down here in verse number 7? Yeah, there he is, got him circled. And then in verse 8, there's Crispus. Unusual, kind of unusual name. And also, there's, isn't there an Apollos down in there somewhere? And in verse number 24, if we look down there, skip on down to verse 24, there he is, Apollos. So there we are, Acts 17, Acts 18, then Acts 19. In Acts 19, of course, there's in verse 22, we're told about Timothy. We know him, but Erastus, don't know a whole lot about him. And then verse 29, we run into Gaius. And then there's that fellow again, our star sources. And then in Acts 20, there's in verse 4, Sopater, see him? And then there's Aristarchus, whatever his name is. And then there's Secundus there in verse 4. And I don't know who was Firstus, but he was Secundus. And then there was, verse 4, there's Tychicus, and Trophimus, and Eutychus in verse 9, I believe you'll find him down there. You want me to stop now, but I'm not going to, because in Acts chapter 21, there's, in verse number 8, there's Philip. That's an ordinary name. Down in verse 10, Agabus, I haven't run into too many folks by that name. And then verse 16, this is interesting. We're told here of one Mnason, see him? Mnason, of Crispus, an old disciple. So we're not told much about him other than that he was old. He was old. Now, if you're not old, you will be one day. Amen. And then down to verse number 18, we're told about James. Of course, we know him. And then in verse 29, There he is. I got him circled. Trumphimus. Trumphimus. Well, how about that? And with that, I say amen. Let's go to the house. Was that encouraging and inspiring? The names. Well, the message that I'm going to preach to you tonight is entitled, Something Special to Know About Names. Something Special to Know About Names. Why all these names? Well, those names represented people. And God is personally interested in people. Did you know that God's a people person? He's interested in people. And these particular names that we pointed out from the book of Acts is specified and signified and identified saints. All of them were saints. And God is particularly, I know he's interested in people, but God is particularly interested in saints. Aren't you glad about that? And it's true. So the Lord led Dr. Luke, he was the writer of this, the book of Acts, he led Dr. Luke to mention, to write down, to record names of these early believers, these members of his church. So what we're going to do for a few minutes, till I get tired, I'm already getting tired now, we're going to consider a few things that were true about those believers in that day and are true, should be true about believers today. Are you ready? God's interested in people. And these names reveal something about them. Here's number one. Here's the thing we learned about names. Every believer, we already said God's a people person. He's interested in people. Every believer, are you one of them? Every believer is special. I'm here to tell you, you are special.
Amen. That's right.
You might get to thinking you're not so special, but you are special. And if all people are special to God, and they are, his people are really special, really special. They're important. God's people are important. Now, knowing I'm important to God is important to me. Ought to be important to you. It's important to me. This world, oh boy, we know which way the world's going. This world may consider saints to be nutty, and it does. Nitwits, nobodies. But in God's economy, we're really somebody.
Amen.
I'm looking out today at a bunch of somebodies. You're special. You're somebody in the sight of God. We're children of the King. We are. We're members of God's family. We're soldiers in his army. We're heirs of his salvation. We're the objects of his affection. We're the subjects of his blessings. And we're headed for his heaven. Hallelujah. I'm glad to report that to you today.
Amen.
So the world can say what it wants about us. And believe me, it does. But we're special. I'm so special. Mentioned something about evangelists coming in and preaching, which is a good thing. Gets you stirred up. Evangelists have that special gift to do it. And there's all kinds, loud and maybe not so loud, but different evangelists for different occasions. And I remember we'd have different evangelists come into our church. I'd invite them in, turn the pulpit over to them, and did a great job, wonderful job. But I'd hear afterwards, I'd say, boy, the people that's here, some guys would say, even the deacons, said, boy, I'll tell you what, that guy, man, he did some preaching. That guy could preach. He could preach. Hey, I'm only human. And I'm thinking, what am I, a potted plant? What have I been doing Sunday after Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night? What if that guy could preach? Well, tell you what, let me give you a little secret about evangelists. They've preached the same message about 27 times. They know exactly where they're going, what they're doing. So anyway, but you know what? We may not feel like it, but we're all special in his sight. And so the listing of these names, the mention of them in the book of Acts just tells us that it's something special to know about names. And every believer is special. So I'm looking at a bunch of special people. Bless your hearts. You're even special, you know that?
Very, very.
Yes. Very, very. Amen. Every believer is special. Another thing we learn, we ought to know about names, is this. Every believer has a special job. Every believer has a special job.
Right. That's good.
Again, all those folks named here were believers. At least I believe they were. I tried to sort them out and make sure. They were all believers, but they weren't all pastors. They had only one pastor. I mean, it'd be kind of rough. Well, you can have an associate pastor and all that, but they weren't all pastors. Others served in different capacities in the church. Some were singers, like we heard just a few moments ago. Some can sing so melodiously. Makes you jealous, doesn't it? I can sing from time to time, but my wife says, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Some are singers, some are, and in that early church, some were ushers, I suppose. They met in houses. You know. Some were greeters. Hello, good to see you. Bless your heart. Glad you made it today. Some were helpers. I mean, they just helped. That's a gift, just being able to know how to help. Some people don't know how to help. And some are helpers. God's people. You know, every believer has a special job. Some cleaned the church, the facilities. Some repaired the place. Some taught the kids, which is something I would not be too good at. I tried that once. I did work in a Christian school for a couple of years. So a couple of the roughest years of my life. It just drove me to distraction. hey, Some of those folks there in the early church, some of them guarded the place. Did you know that? We have all kinds of stuff going on today, don't we? In the schools and so on. And you have to think of security. And it's good if some of the church members are packing heat.
You know, amen.
That's the way it was back. Hey, you know what? They lived in a dangerous environment back then. And, I mean, people were really against what was going on there in town. So some cut the grass, hallelujah, took care of that. Some plowed the snow. And here, I guess that's a pretty important thing. And some watched the crumb crunchers and the curtain climbers and the rug rats in the nursery. There's a job for you. And all those jobs were important.
Amen.
In that early
that's
church,
right.
In the church today. Preaching is important, certainly. Teaching is important. Singing is important. But keeping the place standing and clean and inviting and welcoming is just as important. Every believer has a special job. And if you know Jesus, mark it down. You're never jobless. There's always something to do. Every believer is special. Every believer has a special job. Every believer, thirdly, is specially equipped for his or her job.
Amen.
Now God, he calls us and then he wants to use us. And God, through his Spirit, does something wonderful. Not only saves us, but he gives us certain gifts, certain talents, certain abilities. They're called spiritual gifts. And these gifts aren't to be used for ourselves and our own, you know, gratification. They're to be used for the ministry, the job that the saint is called to do. Every believer is special. Every believer has a special job. But every believer is specially equipped for that job. So God may lay it on the heart of an individual to do a certain thing, and that individual say, well, I can't do that. Can't do it. Well, God equips a person to do the job. It takes a lot of patience and grace and forbearance to work with crumb crunchers and rug rats. It takes something special to sing a solo loud enough for folks to hear. The musicians and the sound technicians have special abilities, special skills. takes a special calling and enabling, certainly, to preach the word. It takes a special gift to encourage folks. It does. I mean, some folks have that, they have that capacity, they can encourage folks. It takes special gifts to talk to folks. I call it schmoozing. I mean, it's the gift of gab. I don't have the gift of gab, but folks do. I mean, they can sit down and just talk and talk and talk and talk. We were visiting some folks yesterday, and one of their boys came in, and he just started. And we just sat there and listened, and he talked and talked. That's Marty. Marty can talk and talk and talk and talk, and it's interesting. But folks have that ability. I can say, well, hello, how you doing? Weather's fine, yep. That's about it. But see, folks give it, and God gives us the special abilities that are needed for his church. It takes a special willingness and ableness and know-how to clean and repair and maintain the church facilities. I mean, folks have to know how to do it. And so God gives us the abilities, the gifts, the talents, the wherewithal to do the work he's given us to do. And someone put it this way, with the calling comes the enabling. And I'm certainly glad of that. Whatever God wants us to do. Someone said, if God wants you to fly, he shall equip you with wings, give you the ability. Well, let's see. What did we say? Every believer is special. You're special. Bless your hearts. Every believer has a special job. Seek it out. And every believer is specially equipped for the job. And fourthly, and finally,
amen.
Every believer has a special responsibility towards his job. That is to say, we're to show up for the job. We're to do the job. We're to be dependable. Somebody said this. He said, one of the greatest abilities is dependability.
It's good.
It's good to have folks you can depend on. Now, I worked at Publix supermarket. It's a big chain down there in the south. And I'm not the manager. I'm not the assistant manager. I'm not even the cashier. I'm the bag boy. I'm that old guy that you run into, you know, like a deep Home Depot and so on. They want to show. Yeah, that's me. And people come down through the aisle there and they look at me and say, what's that old guy doing here? Get him out of here. But I bag the groceries and say hello and so on. And I'm pretty good, well equipped for that because, you know, I talk to folks to a limited degree and I can. And I'm supposed to make them happy when they leave. So I go. But every believer has a special responsibility towards his job. And you know what they want me to do? They want me to at least do this. They hired me. They want me to at least show up. Show up to do the job. We're to be dependable. And there was a kid that started over there at Publix. And I tell you what, this kid was a real, I call him a hot dog. Really into it. Really on fire. I mean, he did a great job. And customers loved him. And he was complimented and he was commended and he was encouraged by management. And boy, they thought they had an up-and-coming kid here. But you know, this kid developed a bad habit. It was a bad habit of not showing up. Now, he didn't do much good, even though he was talented, even though he had the abilities. It didn't do the store much good for him not to show up, did it? Not at all. And it wouldn't do good to have a church full of spiritually gifted super saints if they rarely showed up. God help us, we got to show up.
Amen.
Show up for the job. And it's sad, but it's often true, when God has a special job for one of his saints. You know what God's got to do? He's got to hunt down that saint, chase him down, wear him down, pin him down. Why? Because that saint's not where he's supposed to be. He's off wandering around, wasting his time, doing something that doesn't matter, doing something that won't make a difference, not a dime's worth of difference 100 years from today. But as we develop our abilities, you know what we ought to do? We ought to major on dependability.
Amen.
Yeah, we're special. Thank God. And we have a special job to do. Let's remember that. Seek it out. Find out what it is. Every believer is specially equipped for his job. Talking about spiritual gifts. God gifts us with certain abilities. What we need to do is show enough interest. Say, God, I'm going to unwrap that spiritual gift. Get familiar with it. Find out how to use it. Think about Christmas time. Think about that special person, and you go out of your way to get a special gift for that person. You give it to that person, and what does that person do? He just sets it aside. Doesn't even pay any attention to it. Doesn't use it. Kind of hurts you, you know. Well, how does God feel?
Sure.
When he gives us certain gifts, and we're not even so interested in it as to discover what it is and to put it to use. Every believer is specially equipped for his job. And every believer ought to show up. Let's be dependable.
Amen.
Let's surprise the preacher. Let's really be dependable and say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Come what may, I'm going to be responsible and see what God can do through me. Well, bless your hearts. We're done.
Amen.
That's all I got. I'm tapped out. And if I could play the guitar, I'd do that for you, but I'm not gifted to do that. But you ought to thank God you got a pastor that can.
Amen.
And his family, talented. I ought not be jealous. But talented kids. But our kids are pretty talented too, aren't they? Bless their hearts. But it was good to be here. Bless your hearts. And we're looking forward to hearing good reports as the work goes on here at the great Southside Baptist Church. Brother, I'm turning it over to you.
Amen. He's the patriarch of Southside Baptist Church, isn't he, I guess? All right. Amen. Thank you so much. Boy, that was good. Good again. I got a lot from that this afternoon.